Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business, and time to talk sustainability as well as the circular economy with Klaus Plenge, who's the MD of Tetra Pak Southern Africa. Tetra Pak has been making serious waves this year, achieving double-digit growth in recycling rates for liquid board packaging and investing over 20 million rand into recycling infrastructure and new technologies. We'll be unpacking, pun intended, how they're diving into this and really their plans for all of these ambitious recycling targets. Klaus, thanks so much for joining us today. You've increased the recycling rate of liquid board to over 20%, and your target is 28% by year end. What were some of the key drivers of this double-digit growth in recycling, and how confident are you that Tetra Pak will meet what is a very ambitious target by year end?
No, thank you, Michael, for your time and the opportunity. I would like to start that it has been a long journey. 2 years back, we started assessing completely the value chain of recycling of liquid board packages. Aseptic liquid board packages in South Africa. By understanding the complete value chain, we started building partnerships with different entities like paper mills, PROs, and piloting some ideas like school recycling campaigns or competitions and all of this. Through those years, we have tested several ideas, and now some of the outcome is that we have achieved over 20% of recycling rate by June, which is a very good achievement, although we have an ambition to achieve 40% by 2030. But it's looking very promising. We are also developing or helping our partners to develop new technology, which is also amazing. We keep on investing. I mean, per year, we almost invest 20 million rands only on circular economy. That's on top of whatever investment we do in the country, like in the factory that we invested 500 million rands. This is on top of. And the idea is to set up the basics in the recycling chain. And from there, we're even recruiting or hiring people as well for the buyback centers. And the idea is that we will achieve a higher and a higher recycling rate in the coming years.
Now, one of the big challenges that was put to me the other day at the Safripol plastics conference, talking about a circular economy and plastic recycling, is separation at source and how important that is to help improve recycling rates. When it comes to liquid board packaging, I would imagine it's a similar challenge.
It's a similar challenge, and I think circular economy is part of my heart. The problem starts with the consumer, so we need to segregate our waste in clamors, because we know waste can be, for me, it's raw materials. So if we can segregate at home, that will really completely change the collection process of anything that can be recycled. So it starts by working with kids. That's at least that's our experience. Today we have a program with 320 schools where we are teaching them the benefits of recycling, why we need to do recycling, why we need to segregate or split what is organic or non-organic, because organic is mostly food. Most of our waste at home is food. There are some calculations that they say it's around 60%. It's a lot of food that we waste, and 40% are non-organics. And out of that, those are the things that we can recycle. So if we make it easier by splitting these things, we can help and boost the recycling chain in South Africa. I think that's the biggest challenge.
When it comes to recycling liquid board, we're talking about multiple substrates in this. So how challenging is that to recycle, and what happens to it? You know, maybe you could just share a bit of insight for listeners who are not really at the coalface of that recycling value chain.
Okay, so first it starts when a consumer drinks a package and we can put it in an isolated bag, let's say, or where we put a non-organic things. Mm. Then it will be collected and it goes through a different chains. It's like you have the pickers or you have segregators, buyback centers. So it goes from small amounts to bigger amounts until it goes to a paper mill. Our packages are formed by 75% of paper. long fiber. So that's why paper mills are a crucial point in South Africa. We have two partners, which is Gayatri and MPAC, that are currently accepting and buying, actually not accepting, buying the liquid board packages. So when you put the liquid board packages into their streams, you basically extract all the paper. It's like putting a liquid board package of milk, putting it into a blender with water. You shake it, and then the paper will start being separated from the polyal. That's 20-25%. After the 25%, so the 75% is removed, and it's being transformed in other papers like boxes or secondary boxes or any other thing that it can be used, the paper can be used. And the 25%, it's being taken to other industries. So they buy the waste of the paper mills, and they transform that into plastic wood, for example, roof tiles. We have a huge project of roof tiles. Then they use plastic wood. They can pelletize the polyal, and then once it's pelletized, it can be transformed in any plastic form. Let's say it can be mixed with normal. It's more or less the same plastic industry or recycle industry. It's more or less where that 25% sits.
It's a remarkable, again, circular process, back to the circular economy. And if we can get this right, you can see exactly how that could then stimulate innovative companies to make roof tiles, for example, with these now recycled substrates, and create employment, and in so doing really stimulate what we're trying to achieve here. How crucial is it in the fiber-based part of the chain for standardized recyclability testing and labeling for fiber-based products? Because I still get the sense that amongst consumers, there is some uncertainty when it comes to things that have multiple, you know, substrates. And how does it impact the end of life recycling rates if we were to have better standardization?
So I'm going to go back a little bit to your question. What is the benefit for the country? Even the roof tiles that we are talking about a technology that is being developed in South Africa. It's very unique for South Africa. So our ambition is to build this technology, to take this technology or help our partner to move this technology from a concept or from a concept to a reality. Because in that sense, then we can even look into exports, export the final product or the technology, so that other countries can use the same South Africa technology, which is, that's kind of how do we add value to those raw materials that are coming from this multi-layer package. So paper is paper, and normally it's being addressed in paper. To recycle paper, you need long fibers and short fibers because it's a structure. The more long fibers you put, it's like a wooden box. It's not flexible. And most of the cases, for example, when you order a pizza, you need to close it, you need to open, you need to fold it. So you need long fibers that are recycled fibers most of the time. And you need long fibers. That's why the liquid board packages from Tetra Pak has a high value for the paper mills, because that's the long fiber they need for the process. So the more packages they get, the more long fiber they have, and the less need for import, for example, from long fiber. Long fiber mostly comes from pine trees, and that's mostly coming from other countries where it's imported. So that's in a nutshell what the benefits of all these materials comes into the industry, where they come into the industry of recycling. About the labeling, I think there are two things apart from the labeling. I think from a consumer point of view, we need to understand that that waste that we have at home, it's raw materials. And those raw materials are being used to build other things. So it's like you were telling me about plastic, for example. Yeah, that plastic is being transformed in other type of things. And the same it goes for papers. The same it goes for cartons or liquid board packaging. The second one, it's about teaching. If we don't understand the recycling and the benefits of recycling and the impact that recycling has in reducing the need to build more landfills, because we will be extending the life of the landfills, or we will be reducing the need of all the trucks moving the waste from our house to the landfills. That also has an impact. Understanding the full value of the recycling change, it's a very positive thing. Yeah. And how to promote that? I think it's a massive communication process, but it has to start at some point. The third one, I would say that's the last part, which is the labeling or how to promote sustainable packaging. I think that's another important thing that we need to consider.
And, you know, we've got EPR. We're now just over 2.5 yes. years into, expanded producer responsibility. We still have some free riders in the system that need to be contributing to the PROs to ensure that there is more capital and more resources to go into driving things like that, the innovation, the communication, all of those things to help build the circular economy in South Africa. But Klaus, I think Tetra Pak, I know you've you've recently reopened your Pinetown factory after a R500 million investment there. So clearly a long-term commitment to the South African economy. Great chatting to you about the recycling rates and all the best in hitting those very important, very stretched targets. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Michael.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.